Thank you, Jennings and Macy, and thank you, choir. It's now time for children's church. If we have any kids, six and under. For the rest of us, we will be in Matthew. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. Verse 32, just one verse today to start with. I don't want y'all to get too excited, think we're going to get out of here quick with just one little verse. Matthew chapter 15, verse 32. We'll read the verse, then we'll pray. Now Jesus summoned his disciples and said, I have compassion on the crowd, because they've already stayed with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I don't want to send them away hungry, otherwise they might collapse on the way. Let us pray. God, we come to you this morning and we thank you for your good words. I pray that your Holy Spirit would be among us today. I pray that you'd help us to be free of the distractions and the worries of this world. I pray, God, that you would help me to preach your word in a way that brings glory to you. God, I pray that you take away any fear or any pride that I have today, that your Holy Spirit would just help me to recall the things that you would desire for me to say today. I pray that if there are any in this room today, God, that are hungry, that they would come to you and that they would be filled this morning. I pray that you would meet us where we are today and that every word that is spoken be for your glory and your kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray it. Amen. Amen. I'd like to share with you a story this morning, if I may, for a few minutes. There once was a king of a wonderful kingdom. Kingdom so vast that it stretched as far as the eye could see in every direction. In the northern part of the kingdom was the old city, with buildings of old that had a certain rustic charm. The north was home to the kingdom's vineyards, which created some of the finest wine that you would ever taste. On the western part of the kingdom lie the coastline. The coastline had a pristine beaches and quiet coastal communities. It was home to the fishermen of the kingdom who constantly searched the depths for some of the finest catch of the sea. The eastern part of the kingdom was the largest part of the kingdom. It was home to a group of nomads. They constantly roamed the land that was full of rolling hills and majestic snow-capped mountains, moving their herds from pasture to pasture. And finally, there was the southern part of the kingdom. The southern part of the kingdom was the kingdom's crown jewel, for it was there that stood the king's palace in all of its grandeur. In the southern part of the kingdom stood beautiful trees, trees that were almost perfectly straight and stood so tall that it was as if they reached into the heavens. Meandering through the southern kingdom was a mighty river. which meant that the southern kingdom was perfect for planting gardens, of which the kingdom did, and produced many great fruits and vegetables. One day the king was traveling throughout his kingdom and recognizing the beauty of all of his land when suddenly he was struck with an idea. The king said to himself, "I have the finest of wine, the delights of the sea, the fattest of cattle, and gardens so green, from the north to the south, from the west to the east. From the abundance of my kingdom, I desire a great feast." So the king returned to his palace with its long halls and its many wings. He gathered his servants and he told them his plan. And soon the word spread throughout the land. By the decree of the king, from the greatest to the least, the king says, "Prepare for me the feast of all feasts." The king established a date. The feast would take place on the fifth day of the seventh month. Now this brought some fear to the people of the kingdom, for the date was only 3 months away, but nevertheless there was great excitement in the land as everyone prepared to bring the king their best. Everyone got to work. The vineyard farmers to the north picked their most exquisite grapes to make the finest wine that would ever touch the king's lips. To the west, the fishermen continually searched the depth for the finest fish of the sea. In the east, even the nomads were excited. They picked out their most choicest of cattle that had grazed in the luscious of pastures and would provide the most tender of meats. Certainly, they thought, it would be the best that would be at the feast. The gardeners in the south were happy because the timing was perfect. That was just about the time that all the crops would be ready for harvest, and they were going to pick the freshest of the fruits and the vegetables that would surely please the king's palate. After a couple of months had passed, the time of the feast was approaching. All of the kingdom began to make their way to the south. From the north, from the west to the east, from the greatest to the least, everyone headed south for this most exciting of things as they went to prepare a feast fit for a king. As the people arrived, the king's servants began to get the food and they began to prepare for the feast that would soon be upon them. The king sent word to the carpenters in the land for them to construct a table that would be worthy of such a feast. And so the carpenters approached the woodsmen and they chopped down the finest of the trees that the southern kingdom had to offer, trees that were so large that it was as if the whole earth quaked as the trees would hit the ground. The craftsmen got to work constructing a marvelous table. A table that was so large that it took 250 men to move it into the palace courtyard. The table was an astonishing 500 feet long. The table was made of the finest of woods. Two-thirds of the way down the table were wings that extended off of each side of the table to make sure to have enough room to hold all the excess of food that had been brought. The wavy grain of the wood had a certain sheen that glowed in the midday sun. The legs of the table and the edge of the table were adorned with hand-carved images of animals and fruits and sea creatures, all of which would be represented at the great feast. At the head of the table sat the king's chair. However, it looked more like a throne than a chair, with its back so tall that it would stand 6 feet above the king's head once it was seated. The table was set and the time was drawing near. Soon the day would be upon them. And as the sun arose the next day of the feast had arrived. The crowds of the kingdom began to gather. Every soul in the kingdom was there to witness this great feast. They got there early and they all got their place, and it wasn't long until the king's servants began their work. At sunrise, the table began to be set. The food was brought out one by one. All in the crowd looked on and they smiled as they saw their contribution placed on the table, knowing that surely the king would be pleased with what they had brought. The table was set with the fruit being closest to the king, followed by the vegetables, and then the seafood, finally the meats at the end of the table. A few feet off to one side of the great table was a bronze vat sitting on a wooden stool that held hundreds of gallons of the finest wine the North could produce. For 5 hours, the table was set until finally it was time for the feast to begin. The king's herald approached. "All hail the king of our wonderful kingdom." The king came dressed in his finest attire. The crowd watched expectantly. The king walked to the table and began to inspect the feast, but he remained silent. "Oh my," the crowd thought. "Is the king disappointed?" The king continued to walk up one side and down the other side of the table, looking at the feast, never saying a word. Now the king knew the greatness of his kingdom, and he was even quite aware of the greatness of his subjects and what they could do. But even the king was amazed at the feast that had been prepared. The king went to his chair and took his seat. All watched quietly, anxiously, waiting for the king to take his first bite. However, before the food ever touched his mouth, the king paused. "Oh my," the crowd thought. There was silence. The only sound that could be heard was the light brushing of the wind that went through the leaves on the trees. It was a silence that only lasted for a few moments, but it felt like an eternity for the crowd watching on. The king motioned for one of his servants to come over. "Oh dear," the crowd thought. Soon, the servant went and talked to the carpenters, the carpenters to the woodsmen. And soon they all left. The crowd was confused. Too afraid to leave, they all stood there, waiting and watching in the silence. An hour passed, and they could see the king's servants approaching from a distance. They were carrying something, but they couldn't quite make out what it was. The crowd that was closest to the king could faintly hear the king saying, "Hurry, hurry! The sun will set soon. Hurry, hurry! It's already noon." As the servants approached, the crowds could see that they were carrying chairs. They were quite basic, and the crowd could tell that they were hastily made. But for 2 hours, the king's servants continued to bring chairs and place them on both sides of the table until hundreds of chairs were set. Once the last chair was set, the king rose to his feet. From the north to the south, from the west to the east, our kingdom, from its abundance, has provided us with this great feast. But a feast this large cannot be eaten alone. So therefore, by the command of the king, from the greatest to the least, I invite all of you to join me for the feast of all feasts. In shock, nobody moved. The king left from the side of the table, and began to take his servants one by one and seat them at the table. "Eat, eat," he exclaimed. The king walked alongside the table and approached the crowd. "Come, come," he shouted with glee. And finally, a young boy darted for the fruits, then another for the meats. And slowly but surely, the whole crowd began to make their way to the table. Everyone in the kingdom, from the north to the south, from the west to the east, all ate together from the great feast. The woodsmen with the carpenters with the fishermen with the servant, all in the kingdom ate of the great feast. It was a feast that had never been seen before. The people ate into the night. There was singing and there was dancing. As one person would leave the table, another one would approach the table, and all would continue to eat until they had eaten their fill. At midnight, all the food was gone, and the last person had eaten of the feast. All in the kingdom had eaten that day, all but one. The king had gone without. But nevertheless, the king was full of joy that day, knowing that he had fed all in the kingdom, even though the food of the great feast had never touched his mouth. Now listen all, from the greatest to the least, from the north to the south, from the west to the east. Find you may a feast fit for a king, but it's a rare thing to find a king fit for a feast. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus has prepared the table for us today. From the abundance of His kingdom, Jesus invites us to come today. Jesus saw the crowds in Matthew chapter 15, and He looked on them with compassion because He knew they were a people who were hungry and a people who needed to be fed. And Jesus was a worthy king who said, "I will give all, everything I have to feed the people." In the story of Jesus feeding the 4,000 in Matthew chapter 15, Jesus provided a miracle that day to feed the people. But there was a greater hunger that you and I have, a hunger in the soul, of the desire for our sins to be forgiven. And Jesus provided for that hunger as well. For He was a king who was worthy. He was a king who gave everything for us so that we could be provided for. He was one who was nailed to a cross so that our sins could be forgiven. Just as Jesus fed those people in the crowd of 4,000, so Jesus desires to feed you and I today. Are you hungry? Are you searching? Are you seeking? Do you want to be filled today? You can only be filled by trusting in Jesus Christ. Jesus calls us to eat of His flesh and drink of His blood, not in a physical sense in John chapter 6, but in a spiritual sense, knowing that that's the only thing that will sustain us. Is the body of Jesus Christ that was nailed to the cross for us, and His blood that was shed for us. It is through that we can be filled. It is through that we can receive eternal life. In Luke chapter 22, there was a dispute among Jesus' disciples about who is the greatest. Jesus said this in verse 30, "For who is greater, the one at the table or the one serving? Isn't it the one at the table? But I am among you as one who serves." It's a rare thing to find a fit king for his job. But Jesus was a king who was worthy of what he did. Jesus said, yes, the one seated at the table is greater, but he said, it is my desire to serve you and to give you an example of how to live. And Jesus gave his life for us so that we could be forgiven. And so it should be for us, that we should follow Jesus' example of service, that we would serve others as Jesus has served us. In Isaiah, we see a beautiful prophecy. Isaiah chapter 25, verses 6 through 9 is a prophecy about God and all of His glory and His taking care of all of His people. It says this, "The Lord of hosts will prepare a feast for all the disciples on His mountain. A feast of aged wine, choice meat, finely aged wine. On this mountain He will destroy the burial shroud, the shroud over all the peoples, the sheet covering all the nations. He will destroy death forever. The Lord God will wipe away the tears from every face and remove His people's disgrace from the whole earth. For the Lord has spoken. On that day it will be said, 'Look, this is our God. We have waited for Him, and He has saved us. This is the Lord. We have waited for Him. Let us rejoice and be glad in His salvation.'" The Lord of hosts has prepared a feast in His kingdom. And the entrance to the kingdom comes through Jesus Christ the King. The table has been set. Your chair is waiting. And the King invites you today, from the greatest to the least. Jesus invites you to attend the great feast. Will you be one who stands in the crowd and misses the meal? Or will you be one who comes to the foot of the cross to kneel? Jesus has called you today. His grace and His mercy, He desires to forgive your sins and give you peace and joy and a love that only He can. But you must accept His invitation. The King is calling today. "Come, come," He shouts with glee. Will you accept His invitation? Let's pray. God, we thank You for Jesus Christ. We thank You that He is a worthy King, dear Lord. That He was a King that did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many. God, we thank You that He has provided for us and prepared for us everything we would ever need. Through His death and resurrection, God, our sins may be forgiven, that our souls may be filled. God, I pray that if there is one in this room today that does not know Jesus Christ, has never put their faith in Him, maybe they've stood on the sidelines, dear Lord, and they've seen the greatness of Jesus Christ and His kingdom from a distance. I pray today that they would hear the invitation of Jesus Christ. That today You call them, God. That it doesn't matter who we are, rich or poor, from the greatest to the least, dear Lord. You call us today to attend the feast of eternity in the presence of Jesus Christ. So God, I pray that if there are any in this place today who do not know You, that in this moment, as we're about to have an invitation, God, that they would repent of their sins, that they would pray to You now, that they would ask You to forgive them, that they would come to You, Lord. God, I pray that there are any today who made that decision, who are praying right now, who have put their faith in Jesus Christ, that as we sing in a moment, that they would walk forward, that they would come up front, dear Lord, that we can rejoice with them. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we stand and sing, if God has spoken to you today, if you're ready to accept the invitation of Jesus Christ, as we sing, I encourage you to come forward and make that decision known.
Every tear has been filled. little church on the hill.
Amen. This is what it's all about. We rejoice today in Nick and the decision that he has made. Nick, is it your decision that you have repented of your sins, that you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, and that you are ready to follow him for the rest of your life?
Absolutely.
Amen. Come this way. I want you to turn. Turn this way. There you go. Cross your arms. Nick, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. We'll get a chance. We'll get a chance, but we'll be right back in just a second.
baptism coming up soon because Miss Serenity Wednesday night at church at Revival accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. Praise the Lord. So I want to ask her if she would come stand forward. I want everybody to come hug her neck and hug Nick's neck and just tell them that we're proud of them. And it's great. It's great to see the Lord at work. So we're going to pray. You guys just hang out up here. Everybody's going to come congratulate y'all and celebrate with y'all, rejoice with y'all. I'm going to ask Brother Ernest if he'll stand by the back door. If you want to give to that special offering, you can do that on your way out. Thank y'all for coming today. Michelle, would you close us with a prayer, please?
Father God, we love you and we praise you.